Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the Thursday show. It is Thursday, isn't it? Yes, still is Thursday. Hopefully you can hear me. We're live and well in Pasadena, California, and ready for another exciting show. As I wrote up this morning, and I've kind of shifted it a bit since I wrote the original thoughts on the show. Of course, I'm going to talk to dead people, and if you want to explore some past lives and some questions and so forth, and what spirit your ancestors to comment. But I decided to focus the show on the masculine and feminine dynamics, relationships, love, and what I got a caller, so I'll be with you in a minute. So let me set up the show, and then I'll get with you and see if we're in sync at all today on this whole thing. But I was just on the internet this morning, and I was just kind of looking through Facebook, and I was looking at articles and videos, and there was this video by these gentlemen, and it was more about how to get women. So I was kind of fascinated watching this whole thing, and I watched part of it, and I'm going, interesting. I'm going to explore this a little bit more. The dynamics between masculine and feminine and what we want. And one of the points, and which I'm going to get into in a couple of articles because I thought it was really fascinating, why women love drama. But not that men don't, but it's a different kind of drama. Okay? Men in general like, and I'm being very stereotypical because women like some of the same kind of drama, and men like some of the same kind of women drama, because we all have the masculine and feminine aspects within ourselves. We're not completely 100% masculine or 100% feminine, and it has nothing to do with gender. A woman can be 70% masculine, while a male can be 70% female or feminine. So it crosses gender lines. So it's not one or the other, but generally men are more masculine than women, and sometimes we're right down the middle, and it's gay and straight and all those different relationships. So we love drama for different reasons. Men like drama. It's the bottom of the ninth, and there's two outs, and there's a runner on second, and the home team is down by a run. Now, that's the kind of drama men like, primarily. That's the kind of drama. Now you can disagree. I'd love you to disagree with me on this. I'd love you to go, nah, George, you're crazy. Okay, you're crazy. But women love drama for a different reason. They like romantic drama. They like exploring. They like excitement. They like the unexpected, the unknown. What do you think about that? So in relationships, you kind of have to keep it stirring up a little bit, don't you? You have to keep it going a little bit. You know, men like the football game where it's the fourth quarter and there's 2 minutes to go and the ball's on the 40-yard line. Or will they score or won't they score? And you're down by 4 points, right? Okay, that's the kind of drama men like, kind of different. So we'll talk about that. I have some articles and all that. So I'd like to have your opinions on that. What about drama? Mystery. Suspense. In a relationship, do you think there needs to be mystery and suspense in a relationship? The unknown, each day is new and could be different, and there's surprises. Ooh, adventure. It's not the same old, same old. I have a great article on that, so I'll get to that. Let me take a couple calls and see what you guys are doing. See if we're on the same wavelength today, because I thought I would get into this relationship stuff, because it's kind of fun. It's interesting. I find it fascinating. And also, you know, part of it is we don't necessarily want to know a lot about everything about each other because we like to explore. You know, it's like peeling back the endless onion of learning more and more and bringing a little difference into each day, right? And it's a balancing act, isn't it? It's a balancing act. I think of myself as fairly masculine. I'm not 100% masculine. I would say I'm like 60, 70% masculine. There's a feminine side. But I see in my life, there are some feminine aspects that are missing that a woman fulfills. And I'm not with a partner right now, but it's just kind of a realization I'm thinking. As I'm going through this material, I'm thinking, there are certain things that I really miss that a feminine aspect could bring to my life. What do you think about that? Am I way out there? Or or in a woman's, and I see women want men for certain, women want the same thing in a man. And I got an article on that. We'll talk a little bit about the brain and what we want, what the masculine and feminine, and what we're looking for. Now, again, this is not strictly male-female. It could go either way. It's a masculine-feminine, and it's true in the gay community as it is in the straight community. You have the masculine that's attracted to the feminine. And a woman could be very masculine. She's generally attracted to a feminine man. It's true. It works. I've read lots of books on it. It's the biological makeup of humans. Okay? Got it? Now, some people are right down the middle. Some people can go either way. But most people are a little bit further to one end of the pole or the other. Okay, so let me take a couple calls. See if we're in the same place. 252 and then 704. A couple of people dropped off because I think this is a topic they're not too interested in. But that's okay. Whatever. Whatever. Hello. Oh, I'm waiting for you. Wait a minute. Okay, hello. Hello, out there.
Hello.
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 Hello. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, you do? Okay, I was just talking.
You're just talking. You're talking. What are you talking about?
I didn't hear the boop. You know that noise to let you know.
Oh,
that
I don't
you came
know.
On. So I was just talking. Like maybe it's me. I don't know.
You're having fun over there, huh? Yeah.
Yes,
you're having
I am.
Fun. Okay. So who am I speaking to? Do you have a name?
My name is Keisha, this time.
Keisha. So what's going on, Keisha?
Nothing. Can I get a reading, whatever you pick up
what
on,
do, what
or whatever
do you want?
The subject is? Well, you was talking about drama, and then you was talking about male.
I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about the masculine-feminine dynamics and why we're pulled into each other and sometimes the conflict that goes with that, right? So,
right.
And I talk to dead people. I talk to your relatives. That's where I get messages from those in your family who have passed or friends or, you know, people that you've known or don't even know you. They could be from two or three generations back, but they know you and they know what's going on with you and what you need. Believe it or
that's
not,
right.
They're watching you constantly going, oh, I can't believe she did that today. Oh, again, she did that. Oh, my goodness. Why is she doing that again to herself?
That's
true.
I know.
They do look at us that way. They kind of sometimes wonder why we do the same things over and over and over again. So, did you have a specific area or concern that you wanted maybe get some input on?
My love life.
What's wrong with your love life?
It's non-existent.
Ah, we're back to the non-existent love life. Well, that's pretty typical. That's not unusual. That's not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I get somebody. It's a masculine energy, believe it or not. It's not feminine. It's not it's masculine. And it's on your father's side of the family. It could be like a grandfather kind of image. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. And here's what I hear, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Take the bull by the horns. Okay? Now, let me see what he means by this, because that could mean a lot of different things, right? Take the bull by the horns.
Yes.
It means that in relationships and trying to find somebody, you need to be more assertive. You can't wait. You can't sit back and wait for a man. You have to go out and get one. You have to go lasso a man. Okay?
I can do that.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. They're saying you don't sit around and wait for somebody. You don't sit on the internet going, I can't meet anybody. You got to get out there. You got to go lasso somebody. You got to go flirt. You got to go show your charm. Okay?
Yeah, but I had to move first. These people don't like when I flirt. I get too many men. So
well,
I can't flirt anymore. In this area, at least.
Dear, you're asking me about romance, and then you're saying, well, I can't do it because I got to move. Right?
Yeah.
Well, then move.
Well, that's the answer right there. Yeah.
Move.
Okay.
Move. Get on the stick here. You got to take the bull by the horns. You got to go do something about it. Right?
Okay. So it's still a couple more months. Okay. Got you.
Right? You can't get. Some,
right. I hear you.
You're not going to run out there and look for a man right now going, I got to move. I better not.
Right.
Okay? Go out there. Great. Get out there. Start making some action in your life.
Okay, I will.
Good. Good for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
Okay, where did she go? Oh, we lost her. I lost her. No, I didn't. There she is. Okay. Well, that was fun. You know, that's funny, though. We want something, and we're not ready to get it, right? Well, I got to move. I love that. I got to finish college. I got to end my divorce. Well, that's a good one. I got to end the divorce, right? Divorce has got to end, right? I like somebody, but I can't. So you got to get rid of the butts. You got to get butt. No butts. Okay, let me take another call. We're having fun. Yeah, so it's all about love and relationships and the masculine-feminine dynamics. And I have a couple articles on this. And I was talking about why women love drama. And men do, too. So it's a different kind of drama. And I'll get into that, why women love drama, because I think it's kind of fascinating. But if a man can create drama in your life, isn't that kind of interesting? Not like really negative drama, like he's an abuser, he spends all the money, but more of a surprise drama, more of a, I don't know what he's going to do next, but I know it's going to be really good. Don't you need that? A little excitement, a little expectations. You don't know what he's going to do next. Okay, so let me take a call. You tell me if I'm wrong. You tell me if you agree or disagree, even if you're in the chat room. What do you think about that? You want a man who creates a little positive drama in your life, a little excitement, a little, whoa, I didn't know he was going to do that, you know? And men want that too, though. Men don't want boring, right? Hello?
Hi, it's Melissa.
Melissa, so men don't want boring either. Men want a woman who, men say they don't like drama, but that's not true.
The last guy I dated, it was a few years ago, and he was a drama king.
Mean that kind of drama, though. I mean a little excitement, a little bit of, I don't know what's going to happen next. Is he going to kiss the girl or not drama? You know, like women like, men and, you know, I'm not trying to put this totally on women, but, you know, if you're watching a movie and there's a little drama and you wonder what's going to happen next, the suspense of it all. Are they going to fall in love? Is he going to go back to her? But not to that extreme in a relationship, because you're always worried about jealousy, right?
Right, exactly.
But you get my point.
Yeah, I do.
What's he going to surprise me for with my birthday? Because I never know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not going to forget about it, but you never know what he's going to do. He's not boring. He's not same old, every day. Comes home, has 3 beers, and falls asleep, right? That's not drama. That's just boring.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's good to have that little bit of mystery.
Mystery. It's excitement, adventure, right?
Yeah. Not too much, though. Then it's sort of secretive and everything. So
what's going on with you today?
I'm just waiting for a storm to roll in, so figured I'd pop on.
Well, that's a little drama, isn't it? There's a little drama in that. How much rain are we going to get? Well, you know, is it lightning going to hit me or not?
Yeah, I actually live in a camper. I moved into a camper a couple months ago.
I got to hear this story. This sounds like fun.
No, actually, a couple months ago, I mean, I had it with my job. I was at the job 8 years, and it's just, I'd sit down at my desk and I'd cry. I can't do this anymore. My job. And I wasn't in a relationship. I hadn't dated in like a year. And I was at the point in my life, I said, you know what, I got to change. And I knew I wouldn't find a job making what I was making, so I had to downsize. So I sold my house. It went on the market under contract within 24 hours. Sold it last month.
That's quick.
I moved back to the property where I grew up on, and I'm tearing down the house. So living off the money that I got from the house and moved into a camper. So a little bit of drama when storms come, to where hopefully I won't get struck by lightning in a tin box. But
okay. So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Very simple. Sure. Why are you calling in today? Your life seems rather adventurous.
want to see where I'm going with this.
What do you mean? Why? Where are you going? Don't you like the adventure of not knowing where you're going tomorrow?
I do, but I still like to know what's on the horizon, but look forward women like to look forward to stuff. What can I look forward
to? You're planners. I know you're planners. You got vacations planned for 3 years ahead, and the guy's going, oh, really? Seriously? We want to go there again? I'm kidding. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plan parties and you do this and you do that. So you want to know what's going to happen in 6 months. That's why you call psychics, is because I really wonder, something to plan for, right? It's about something to plan for.
To look forward to.
Yeah, because if you can attach to something in the future, you go, okay, I'm going to get ready for that. That sounds like fun, right? So
yeah.
you want to know what's going to happen next with the property, basically what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Where am I going from here?
Okay, so on your mother's side of the family, because I always try to talk to dead people about this stuff and, you know, your family members and so forth and see what they have to say on this. Okay? On your mother's side of the family, there's a female energy. It's off to the side, so it's not exactly a grandmother, but it's more like a great aunt or something like that. Or it could even be a cousin of some kind going back, okay? Because it's off to the side, if that makes sense at all. Okay? I don't know who this is. I wish she had gave me names, but they never do. So what is she saying to you? Plans are being made or developed for you to have a more suitable dwelling, because we feel that what you have temporarily is not up to your living standard. Okay? That's what I hear. Exactly. That's the words I got. So they're going to assist you, your family, those in the non-physical world, will assist you and give you the inspiration to what to do next in the very near future, that in July or by July, well, this is June, so that's a month away, you will have the aha and people will come into your life with ideas on what to do next. Okay?
Okay.
I see you want to build a house on that property?
Yes.
And I see kind of a, how do I put this? It's not a mansion. By any stretch of the imagination, it's more of an expandable, simple structure. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I see a log cabin, but it's not exactly a log cabin. Okay? But it has a porch and it's comfortable for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it has a softer side to it. I don't know why I say that. It has a softer side to it. Do you know what I mean by that? A lot of feminine touch to it.
Yes, I love the tiny house movement, but I'm not going that tiny.
No, you're not going that small. It's not big.
Yeah.
It's maybe two to three bedrooms in a den or something like that. Maybe two bedrooms in a den, but it's big enough, but you can stretch out. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like me.
But you're not overwhelmed by, oh God, I got to clean this thing again today. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, because you want your freedom. You don't want to be stuck with something that you're constantly taking care of every day.
No.
So you'll get that. But it'll come to you next month. Okay? What to do.
Oh.
Okay? It'll all fall in place. And by Christmas, you'll have a tree up in your own little place.
Awesome. Cool.
You're ready
Thank
for
you.
That, right? You want a Christmas tree in a house, right?
I am, yeah.
So we won't talk about relationships because that's not – you know what I hear for you more than relationships, the same family members, right? Yeah, you're going to have friends and maybe a good friend and somebody, but it's not like a permanent thing, not a user. There's no users left in your life.
Okay, good.
You don't want a user, but you'll have somebody that, you know, good companion, but not necessarily attached to you strongly. I don't think you're ready for that. You're not ready for that.
No. I'm a little busy right now.
Yeah, yeah. You want a friend.
Mm-hmm. I want a partner in crime.
Yeah, the friend with benefits kind of certain sort of kind of person, you know? But you're loyal to each other. You know, you're not like going out all over the place. So good, it's going to happen.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you.
But I hear, get your house in order first.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Because he's not going to like your little temporary dwelling.
Probably not. It's a camper. It works for me right now.
I know, but he's not good. Yeah, yeah, but you'll get something better soon. Okay?
Okay. Cool.
Take care.
Thank you. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we're talking about relationships a little bit today, and we're talking about the masculine and feminine dynamics and what women expect from men and the woman and the brain of a woman and why women want drama. And I got this article. I got to get into the article because it's really kind of cool. I have a caller, and let me share one thing real quick. And it's the masculine and feminine. And think about these qualities as you're going through this, and we won't get to this whole article. I'll just give you some of the – now, again – it's not a gender thing. So if you identify with one or the other or a mix of the both, you could say, well, where am I more dominant? You know, what's my more dominant side? You could be 60-40. You could be 45-45. But where's your more dominant side? So I'll give you the masculine side, and I'll give you the feminine side, and I'll take a call or two. Okay, it's left brain. I am the left brain, masculine. I am the scientist, the mathematician. I love the familiar. I categorize. I am accurate, linear, analytical, strategic. I am practical, always in control, a master of words and language, realistic. I calculate equations and play with numbers. I am order. I am logic. I know exactly who I am. And that's a very strong masculine side. You know, you could be the muscle guard guy or the wrestling guy or whatever. You know, just some very masculine energies, right? Okay, the feminine side, right brain. I am the right brain. I am creativity. I am free spirit. I am passion, yearning, sensuality. I am the sound of roaring laughter. I am taste, the feeling of sand beneath bare feet. I am movement, vivid colors. I am huge. I am the urge to paint an empty canvas. I am boundless imagination, art, poetry. I sense, I feel, I have everything I wanted to be. Now, that's interesting, and I have to agree with that in the sense that, yeah, but we have a mix of both, because if I would look at myself, and I'm not going to do that right now, I can see a little bit of the feminine and a lot of the masculine, and so you kind of have to find out where your balance is at. And another thing I'm thinking in terms of as being a masculine person, you could look at the feminine side and say, okay, what do I want in there? What would I want to bring in from that feminine side, from somebody else? I don't necessarily want to create it myself, but maybe I want somebody who has the feeling of sand beneath their feet, that energy, that, oh, let's go to the ocean today. The laughter, of course. Okay, the paint an empty canvas, you know, and I realized that this morning about myself, and I would ask guys and women to do the same thing. Do you want a man who's a little more strategic, a little more practical, a little more in control, a little bit stronger in some areas, right? A man who's a scientist, yeah, like, who organizes and categorizes everything. It's not so scattered, right? Realistic. Now, there's some of those I'm not that – I have to admit there's some feminine sides here in me. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm a lot of that. So a boundless imagination, I love that. Art, poetry, I love that in women, because it brings it out in me, and I feel that. But I am the empath. I am the intuitive, right? All that stuff too. So let me take another call, see where we're at. And I would say that if you're looking for a relationship, you should look at yourself. What aspects of the feminine or masculine do you want to bring into your life? Complimenting you. You're whole, you're good, you're beautiful as the way you are, but what do you want? Like for me, it's an example of the feminine, somebody that can design and do an interior, and you know, because you know my place is kind of like, yeah, it's kind of masculine, but a softer feminine touch would be really nice. I love to cook, but I would like some more inspiration in cooking. You know, somebody could introduce some ideas and some other things. Okay. Yeah. Interesting, huh? Because I get kind of boring in my cooking. Yes, let me take a call.
Hello.
Hi, George. We have an interesting topic today.
Oh, thank you. So how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I wanted to ask about something else, if it's all right, not related to relationship.
Okay, but real quick, because I want to get back to this whole thing about relationships.
Yeah, sure. So 3 weeks from now, the UK, there's a referendum in the UK to vote to come out of the European Union.
Yeah, I've read about that. And I've read about Scotland wanting to stay in the EU, and if you pull out of it, Scotland might have another referendum to become an independent country because it really is attached to Europe more so than the rest of the UK. See? I'm up on this one. So what's going on? But I just get real quick, it's going to fail.
So they're going to remain then?
Yeah, because they're, economically there's a lot of advantages of staying in the EU.
Mm.
And one of the advantages is, and people, and I read this, and it's kind of an interesting advantage, is that you can go to anywhere in Europe in the EU and have an education free. You can go to Denmark or Germany or whatever and get a free education. You pull out of the EU and suddenly you got to pay for all that. That's a big, strong motive.
Yeah,
for individuals and families. I mean, you got a son that wants to go to school and study in France. Well, you're in the EU. Yes, it's really inexpensive. Pull out of the EU, it gets really expensive.
It is, but it is one of the hundreds of things which we would need to consider, isn't it? The immigration is bleeding us to death.
Well, but there are compromises in that area too. So because a lot of Europe now is becoming very sensitive to immigration also.
True. Yeah. Well,
Germany, France, you know, with the terrorist activities, good or bad or whatever, how you feel about it, that they're becoming more sensitive to who they're letting into the countries.
True. So you are getting even psychically that it's best for UK to remain in the UK, in the Euro.
Well, I just get it's going to be rejected. The moving out of the EU is going to be rejected. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, we won't get political in about Europe and the, you know, immigrants and, you know, and it's not so much the problem is not immigrants. It's immigrants who are able to gradually, let's say, assimilate. It's an assimilation problem. Even in the United States, it's an assimilation problem. You can't just dump a bunch of people in a country. They need to assimilate. They need to get jobs. They need to kind of blend into the culture, you know, and blend the culture. Because the United States is a blend of cultures. You'll agree with that, right? In that we pick up cultures, you know, Italian food, that, the things from other different countries. But it's a gradual process. You know, we have cultures here that don't blend as well as others. And people are kind of resistant to that and resentful of that. And I'm not going to get into specifics because in my area, we have a real diverse group of cultures in our country, in this area. But I tell you one thing, this is kind of a fascinating thing for me. And I've noticed this in my area. We have a lot of people who have moved from China and other countries. But it's the young people that begin to assimilate. And you know what assimilates young people is culture, pop culture, hip-hop, music, cars, the pop culture, clothes, seems to assimilate in the second generation. Maybe the older folks that just moved here, but their children assimilate quickly based on culture. It's kind of fascinating. So even in countries in Europe, if you see young people starting to assimilate based on culture, so a little rock music, a little hip hop, and little, you know, all this and sort of thing is not a bad thing, you know. It does assimilate people into a culture. And they bring in their own. You know, I've listened to rap music from various languages in my Armenian rap, for example. Interesting, Armenian rock. So there's an assimilation based on pop culture, which I find very fascinating. Anybody else has ever noticed that? But that brings people together because you share interests. You share something, you know, culture, clothes, cars, you know, lifestyle, and assimilates into society that way. And I think it's a good thing, personally. I mean, they're bad side. They're gangs, but we're not talking about gangs per se. But you know what I mean by that culture. Raves, music, dances, you know, yeah. There's assimilation because I've known a lot of people who moved here. Families moved from China, but they fairly quickly adopted and promoted dance music, clubs, and raves and, you know, that sort of thing. And it became a cultural phenomena, which we kind of incorporated into our culture, and it became part of the culture. And it didn't separate people, but it pulled people in of different ethnicities together. Okay, enough of that. That's just my little take on culture and assimilation. And you have to kind of, you know, pop culture is not so bad. It does that. It does that assimilation of people, rock stars, movie stars, you know, all that sort of thing. It assimilates people. Now, there's some people that resist that. They want to keep their culture pure. But, you know, for the most part, we do assimilate based around culture, pop culture, other cultures, that we can kind of bend to our own, but kind of go with the majority. Okay, so we're back to relationships, and we're talking about pop culture, we're talking about assimilation, we're talking about all kinds of different crazy things. So anybody wants to talk to any dead people, anybody want to get into past lives, we can do that. If you have any questions about relationships as to past, you know, then we can talk to somebody in your family history that might have some ideas for you about relationships and how you can develop a good relationship with somebody. It's not just getting a relationship. You know, you can get a relationship. Boom, done, right? But it's keeping the relationship alive and well. So I asked that question. I read the brain. Masculine versus feminine. I try not to say woman and man because there is that crossover. There is very feminine men and very masculine women. So it's a masculine-feminine dynamic versus male-female, man-woman, okay? Even in the gay culture. You know, lesbians who are very masculine, lesbians are very feminine, gay men who are very masculine, gay men are very feminine. There's that pull, that dynamic that pulls people together. It's like that left brain thing and right brain thing that pulls people together. You fill in each other's pictures with your colors. Okay, got it. Okay, so let's get into the next article. Oops, that's not it. Okay, I bet you that's not it either. Okay, I like this one. This is about women, and it's from Elite Daily. It's news, entertainment, Erica Patterson, and I don't know Erica. Oh, I have friends who like these articles. I'm looking at my Facebook friends who like this. Ah, it's women, so it's interesting. Okay, this is for women, or men can pay attention to. Pay attention, men, because you could learn a lot from this, too. And women, you can go, I don't agree. I disagree. I like it. Okay, so as the article goes, I've never forgot the time I spent working the overnight shift as a waitress. All sorts of sordid characters wandered into my restaurant, spilling their guts about their raunchy, reckless details of their lives. Ooh, that sounds like fun. Early one morning, a woman walks in alone. She begins to chat with me after I take her order. "I'm pregnant," she announces. I smile. "Congratulations," I tell her. She shakes her head at me and sighs. "I don't know about that one," she says. "Aren't you happy?" I ask her. She shrugs. "I can't believe he was man enough to get me pregnant," she says. "He's so damn boring. I thought he couldn't even do this." Wow, that's kind of a startling statement, isn't it? I was confused, so I asked her to explain her situation further. "All he does is go to work, come home, and play video games," she says. "There's nothing exciting about him. He's so routine. I feel like I'm sleeping with a sack of potatoes." I questioned her a bit further and found out her man had a great job in a career he loved. He was handsome, polite, and her parents loved him. Her parents loved him. He never cheated or gave her a hard time about spending money. Moved all the way across country to be with her. If she had indeed found what could amount to the perfect guy, then why the scowl on her face as she spoke about him. There could be only one reason. I let you guys guess what it is. You guys would play with me a little bit. So what is that one reason that she could be scowling? Because she found the perfect man. It's sex. Obviously, she was pregnant. Wasn't she? He held back from having sex with her. What was that one thing that was missing in her life? See if you can guess. Anybody in the chat room, give me a word. One word, what was missing? Oh, I got somebody playing. That'd be good. I laugh. Okay, we won't go to where he was small. You mean short or in other ways small? Okay. That's funny. No, wrong answer, but that's I love that one. That's a great one. Okay. Sorry. I had to laugh. Yeah, I know what you're saying. No, that's not the answer. Okay. He was at least 11 inches. Okay, I'm joking about that one. Okay, so I think you're right on the second part. The second one that's closer to it. The element of spontaneity and surprise. I think you're pretty close on that one. So let me get it back into the article. This woman wanted drama. She wanted to experience the very thing that makes us alive in life, uncertainty. Women crave drama because it gives an exciting story to tell. Now, you could agree or disagree with this, but this is great stuff. It gives them the thrill of jumping out of an airplane without having to muss their hair. It offers the scintillation of a near-death experience that helps them to appreciate everyday life more. You can't watch any movie without becoming enthralled by the drama that takes place. There is really no story if there isn't a moment of hesitation, a split second of fear, a wrong decision, or fall from grace. Women crave these experiences not because it helps them to appreciate the good times, but because it is necessary for them to feel attached to this life experience. Now think about that. I'm not saying men don't. I'm not saying that men never seek this kind of drama. But think about it, okay? Who are we but the stories we tell? What life would be without them? When we tell the best stories of our lives, do we talk about the times we made straight A's in school? No, we talk about that one C we learned in pre-calculus and why that teacher was such a bitch. Think about that. I mean, you may disagree, but this is kind of fun to think about, at least. Okay? When we pick up our cell phones to call our girlfriends. Now, this is written by a woman. This is not a guy's point of view, okay? Who's done some research into this. So when we pick up our cell phones to call our girlfriends, it isn't to drag about how our handsome partners made dinner for us tonight. No. It's to complain about how he didn't come home on time last night. For some reason, we identify with the struggles in life more than we do with the peaceful days. Ooh, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Why do we do that? We like drama. We love drama. A year could go by where our bills are being paid on time with ease, but one month when we lose our job and we are in transition will be what we remember forever because it makes us feel something we don't get to experience during the majority of our mundane lives. So it's excitement, something different in our lives. So she missed from him the unexpected. She missed from him creating the drama. And not necessarily negative drama, but drama. Okay? Something to talk about. Something unusual to talk about. Something different to talk about. The challenges in life, the obstacles, the downtimes, and the monsters are forever etched in our life experience by choice. We say that we hate those experiences, but we define our lives and ourselves by the very experiences we pretend to detest. Now, I'll give you the law of attraction thing, and I'm going to quote kind of a little bit of the Abraham material on this. Let me finish the rest of this paragraph, and I'll mention how this relates to the law of attraction, believe it or not. How many women describe themselves as survivors and put whatever drama you want in there? Instead of spelling bee champions or employees of the month, Why does one outweigh the other in our minds? And I'll give you a law of attraction thought from the Abraham material on this. We need contrast in our lives. We need dark to see light. We need hot to know cold, or we need cold to know hot. We as humans need contrast. We need to see what we don't want to appreciate what we do want. We need to lose our jobs sometimes to appreciate a job that we're going to get. Okay? And we can vicariously live in contrast by seeing things in a movie, that we don't want, and go, yeah, no, I want this. I experienced that. I don't want it. Nah, I don't want that. Nah, I'm not, you know, I experienced it. Way vicariously you experienced it, and you go, nah, I don't want this, I want this. But you talk about what you don't want. Now, sometimes you talk too much about what you don't want, and you get more of it, and you get more of it, and you get more of it. But it's best to say what you don't want and experience it, whether it's vicariously or in reality. You see the contrast in your lives. No, I want this over here. So women crave drama because we need to experience the exhilaration of uncertainty. The uncertainty, the excitement of having to exercise our creative powers to transform a situation or tame the wild beast. So we love to, men, and I'm not leaving men out of this equation here. I'm not saying we don't do this, but transform the situation. See the contrast or tame the wild beast, or see what we do want. We want this man. We want this wild man, so this bad boy, so we can tame the bad boy. I don't like this over here, but I think I'm going to make this one over into a better person, right? The contrast. Now, that may be impossible in some cases. You know, some bad boys are just not changeable, but we like that. And guys do the same thing. You know, how many guys out there, and I wish there was more men listening to the show, but how many of us are excited about that, the floozies out there, the woman who, let's say the prostitutes in the world, you know, we're going to change that bad girl into a good girl. We're going to transform that bad girl. I don't like certain things, but I'm excited about it, and I'm going to transform it. I'm going to see the contrast and move this into what I do want, but a lot of times we can't do that. We can't change people. That's where we lose sight. So we understand and accept our feminine powers, and we need to expand them in battle. Not in the war zone, but in our personal lives. We are addicted to the pride that comes from the challenge of overcoming. The contrast. The challenge of overcoming. The contrast to going from here to there. From something we don't really like, something that scares us, into something else. But we constantly seek that. In our lives, we constantly seek the contrast because we like to experience those and go, no, I'm going to change it. I don't want that. No. This guy's cool, but he's a bad boy. But I'm going to change him into a good guy. Right? Isn't that true? Am I wrong? Now, sometimes we realize we can't do that. Sometimes we just go, wait a minute, I'm going to pick a different battle. This one I'm not going to work on. This one's too tough. He's too far gone. He's abusive. You know, when you get into abusive relationships, if you spend too much time on an abusive relationship, you create another abusive relationship and then another abusive relationship. Sometimes you learn that's not the battle. That's the contrast you don't want. You just got to move on. You got to choose what you do want. But you still have to have an edge to it, right? Don't you have to have an edge? That's what I'm getting from all this. You have to have an edge. And men need to do this for women. They need to give that edge, that, you know, show them things that they don't want sometimes. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Oh, that's kind of strange, huh? Okay, so when there's no drama eagerly popping up in our lives, we get lost in soap operas, reality shows, and celebrity gossip. We want the OMG, oh my God factor, and want it every day because without it, we would be numb. What do you think? I think that's a great article. I think that's a very fascinating article. And if I equate it to the law of attraction, it makes it interesting, huh? Because in the law of attraction, you know, we see contrast in our lives. We see what we don't want. We experience what we don't want. And then we go, oh, no, I don't want that. I want to move over here. You know what? I don't want that kind of woman. I've experienced this kind of woman. I've experienced this kind of man. But we seek it out. We seem to gravitate to it. I guess if you would say that, can an enlightened being get past contrast? No. There will always be contrast. There always will be contrast. But we have to kind of the level of contrast and what we want to do with it. Can we change that person that's contrast, or we can change our situation? And then we talk about the contrast, but at some point you got to give up talking about it, right? At some point you got to go, okay, I'm moving over here, because the law of attraction creates more contrast. It creates more of that stuff that you don't want. More drama. If you get stuck in drama, you're going to create more drama. If you get stuck in drama, now you can shift your drama to something else, but you're going to get more of it. And we create drama by default. Interesting. So human nature, right? Human nature. We like, at some level, we like living on the edge. We like our little adrenaline rushes. And that's what drama does for us. That's watching that scary movie. That's watching this, will they come together? We get that little rush. And I listen to spirit as I go through this. And the thing I get too is that this goes back, let's say, millions of years, thousands of years, whatever long you believe that humans have been on this planet. We've always lived on the edge. Recently, we've kind of mellowed out. We don't live quite on the edge. We don't have saber-toothed tigers chasing us now. You know, we kind of know where our meals are going to be the next day. So we're not living on that edge of that adrenaline rush that our ancestors had. You know, we're not on the plains, you know, with Indian attacks. Okay? We don't know where the pirates are coming, when the pirates are coming. So, but we like the adrenaline of it. We got, so our humanity and our DNA has gotten to that point over the thousands and millions of years of us developing, as kind of like that adrenaline rush a little bit. We like that energy. Yeah, so that's what I mean. You're hitting right the nail on the head there. It's, yeah, full of drama. Now, you can minimize the drama. You can minimize it. You can use it. You can develop it. You can keep it from being overwhelming. And you know, and men don't necessarily have to have that scary kind of attitude, that abusive thing, to bring a little bit of expectation and excitement in a woman's life. You know, he could show up after work or show up and go, hey, let's go to this place. Let's go do this. This is different. We've never been here before. Let's go. Now, that's excitement, isn't it? That's a little excitement. It's like, okay, breaking up the norm. You know, let's go do this. Hey, spontaneity is like really good for overcoming drama in a life, because it creates an adventure. Then there's something to talk about. Wow, he pulled me out of the house and we went to this place and we sat on the beach and, you know, drank margaritas and it was just amazing, you know? That's a creating excitement in somebody's life. And so what we're talking about, everybody's joining us late, you know, it's like, okay, but we're talking about relationships and we're talking about the idea and rightly about the masculine feminine dynamics, whatever gender you're in, if you're masculine or feminine, it doesn't matter. And also drama, why we like drama so much. And I'm kind of like listening to spirit. And I guess two reasons that the articles don't talk about, the spirit talks about, is that we love contrast. Contrast is, we learn from contrast. We learn what we don't want. So a little drama and contrast moves us to where we want to be. And plus, our DNA of racing, of being chased by saber-toothed tigers in a long time ago, or the Indians on the plains, or the pirates, or the marauders, that adrenaline, we kind of get into that adrenaline rush. Men are really bad about adrenaline rushes, aren't we? We do crazy, especially young men. I mean, do crazy stuff, right? You just watch any of those reality shows about men doing stupid, you know, right? The Darwin Awards is the extreme case of that, what we do. Okay, so moving right along. So we're talking about this. How much time do I have? 10 minutes. Okay, anybody want to call in? Anybody want to talk to any dead people about this? You want any messages from spirit, your family members, those who have died, that or in the non-physical world. They haven't died, but they're in the non-physical world, and they can give you some information on relationships or anything, really. I kind of leave it open a little bit. I'm having fun with this article. If not, I kind of found a whole bunch of articles today. And this is kind of for guys, okay? This is analyzing the drama queen in a woman's IQ test. And I think this is kind of advice for men. And it's like, here are the examples of how women employ drama. Okay, and we're off to a whole different tangent. This is women employ drama, and they employ drama, according to this article, is because they test men, how they'll respond in situations. Men see if a man will test a woman, pass a woman's test. Okay, interesting, huh? Women want men who are in control themselves, yet slightly out of control. A little bit of a confident, independent individual who excels in different areas of life. This is because women ultimately surrender themselves to a certain extent. Yeah, the masculine-feminine dynamic. You know, you have to have that. There has to be a little bit of the surrender in the masculine-feminine. Now, when they say men and women, it could be the other way around. The woman can be very masculine, and the feminine man has to surrender to that. And that's a lot of times that's in the sexual area. You know, there has to be a dominant. Generally, most of the time, except for about 10% of the time, okay? So here's some of the examples of how women employ drama, okay? So where are you taking me? Once, this is not the one I wanted to do. Okay, so let's just use that one. And now these are a couple of them. Okay, can you please do this for me? And it's a test of a man's integrity. Where are you taking me once a sense of mystery, romance created for her? This place sucks. Okay, I want this, clothing, food, anything impulsive. I'm annoyed, any extreme emotion. These people are bothering me. I have a lot of guy friends testing waters, jealousy and insecurity. All girls are bitches. I don't have any female friends. Same as above. Okay, so I'm not going to read all these, but I'll go down to the bottom, and they give you really cool examples of how men can respond to these in a way that passes the test. There's two of them. So let me go through these two. And if you're wanting to talk, I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to use these two examples. And I think it's really fascinating. And you could use these examples in any of those and the principles here. Okay, woman, where are you taking me? Failed answer from a man. Where do you want to go? I mean, women, what do you think? If a guy asks, where do you want to go? Is that taking really? Okay. Past answer. It's a surprise. Super seductive. Seduction pass. Don't worry, you're going to love it. And if you don't, too bad. With a slight smirk for a touch of humor. Don't worry, you'll love it. Isn't that a great answer? What do you think, women? Is that a great answer? You say, where are we going? And he says, you'll love it. Don't worry about it. You guys are still with me, I think. I think that's a great answer. And men should use that more. If you're a man, where should we go? Where are we going? Oh, you'll love it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fun. You'll really enjoy this. And if she doesn't, she's got that excitement about, we're going to do something different. Wow, it's going to be fun. And then the guy has to come through with something different. It can't be the same restaurant you've been 12 times in the last 2 weeks, right? No, no way. That's not going to cut it. But it's something different, something in an adventure. And she'll go, wow, that's really cool. Okay, so let me get back to the next one. I want this. Clothing, food. I want this. Failed answer. Anything you want, or you're so demanding. Failed answer. Bad answer, right? What do you think? I mean, I like these because I think they really do hit the nail on the head. Past answer. Not now, but maybe later. Or take some initiative and we go get it. And take some initiative and we go get it. Okay. Super seduction pass. Hey, there's nothing free in this world. So what is it for me? What's in it for me? Turning the tables a little bit. Make a little excitement there. You know, okay, yeah, you want this. Now what do I get? But I like the second one too, is not now, maybe later. But what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I getting out of this? Turning the tables a little bit on the woman. What do you think about those? Do you see, and you see the difference? Anything you want is kind of like, it's kind of like being very passive, very, whatever you want, dear. But it's like, okay, you got to work for it, dear. You want it, you're going to work for it. You're going to do something. You know, you can't have it right now, but you're going to work for it. You're going to get it. There's going to be some effort here to get that. What do you think? I think that's kind of an interesting answer. Yeah, take her to McDonald's. That would be good. Yeah, like, oh, you'll be surprised. Yeah, they have a – yeah, it depends on the situation. Maybe – no, I don't think that works, right? I don't think that works. And, you know, the ultimate thing is – whatever the ultimate thing is on that regard. So we got about 3 minutes left. Anybody else, any questions? I think I'm kind of running out of – I had a whole bunch of articles and, you know, stuff. But I was kind of into this subject today after listening to this whole thing about men and women and so forth and so on. And okay, I'm going to finish. I don't think I have time for this. Maybe we'll get it. I'll save some of this for tomorrow. We'll talk more about this. I think this is kind of fun stuff. And there's this beautiful Greek myth that explains the difference between men and women, the male and male, feminine, and all that stuff. And we'll talk about that. It's a story with human nature and human condition. Human beings once spherical, with 8 limbs like an octopus, 4 legs, 4 arms and 4 legs, 1 head and 2 faces, 4 ears and 2 sets of genitals, male and female both. So that there were any one of the 3 kinds, male, male, female, male, female, female, female. And then we'll finish the article tomorrow, what Zeus did. And it's kind of a good analogy of what this is all about, right? And then there's a Chinese version of the yin and yang and where that comes from. And we'll talk about that a little bit, the yin and yang, the ideology and concept of yin and yang, the balancing of two, the balancing of the energies, the masculine and feminine energies and what they bring into our relationship. And I thought about this myself. Okay, so I thought about what do I need as in a feminine energy in my life? Oh, I thought about it. Maybe I'll do a Sunday show, like a Sunday morning show or something like that here. Kind of more of a spiritual-minded show a little bit. Not so much readings, but more of a spiritual-minded, kind of like a church, going to church with George, right? Going to church with George on a Sunday morning. Okay, but still in a metaphysical, spiritual way, having some fun with it, you know, talking about some things. Okay, so I got a minute and a half. Any other questions or anything else I wanted to talk about today that would be interesting about this whole thing? So what do you think about this masculine and feminine thing, this dynamics? David Deida, and if I could correctly spell his name, and maybe I'll mention in a couple books I'll post tomorrow about this. David wrote a lot about spirituality and masculine feminine dynamics. I have a couple of his books. I think one I can't find, which is really a good book on this subject of the masculine feminine dynamic and spirituality. And it talks about the masculine and feminine dynamics and all about how regardless of who we are, we're either masculine or feminine, we're dominant one way or the other. You know, it could be 55-45, but and then if we're 55-45, we probably want somebody who's pretty close to that on the other end. We want a 55-45 on the other side of the spectrum. If we're masculine, we want a feminine who's 55-45. So you kind of know who you are. How masculine are you? How feminine are you? Or are you right down the middle? And you'll find somebody right down the middle because there are people, about 10% of the population I read is about right down the middle. They kind of flip either way. Kind of fun thing. And I can tell you stories about people that I've known that I thought were very masculine and I was really surprised about their partner. Okay, so it's been fun. I will be back tomorrow, Friday. So we'll talk more about this and tomorrow. We'll get more into the masculine-feminine dynamics. I think it's a good subject. Bye now. Love you guys. Be good. Take care. Bye.